welcome you back to our evening service. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Jude chapter 1, the only chapter in Jude. In fact, we don't even really say there's a chapter because it's just one chapter, 25 verses. We're looking at verse 9. We began verse 9 last week. Peculiar situation. Let's pray. We need God's guidance to go into this because we're going into unknown territory with little information. No, as the King James translator said, there's no brother or sister verses to compare with other than 2 Peter 2:10. We'll look at that, but let's pray. Father, help us tonight as we understand the realm of the spiritual world and powers, both human and both visible and invisible. And I pray that you would help us to get perspective so that we understand a little bit about authority, enough to show respect to our authorities within the boundaries that you articulate, but ultimately to realize that you are the supreme, the highest authority. Someday we will answer to you, and every single authority, visible and invisible, will also answer to you as the supreme judge. So Lord, bless us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jude chapter 1, verse 8, talks about filthy dreamers. We've looked at that 2 and 3 weeks ago, that these Old Testament examples communicate something about the apostates, and what they do is they defile the flesh, they despise dominion, and they speak evil of dignities. Last Sunday night, we looked at this thing of speaking evil of dignities, because the word dignities is literally, it's the Greek word glories, glory doxa, like the doxology. It speaks of glories, and so it seems to include human authorities, going back to our illustration in the previous verses, but there's way more to it. And the idea of these apostates is that they're not, in fact, Peter words it this way in 2 Peter 2:10, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities or glories. Some actually translate that word dignities as celestial ones. Let me look at my notes here. Supernatural beings, celestial ones, angels. And of course, that limits it to just the spiritual realm. But if we look at what the Bible says about dignities, another phrase that is used, and I think the same is true with dignities, that it applies to both human authorities and spiritual authorities, the whole angelic world. And there is a whole angelic world. And so that idea of dignities, also the phrase principalities and powers, are mentioned a lot in the New Testament. We're going to look at some of them. But we find this very interesting story, verse 9. We're going to dig into this tonight. Let's look at verse 9, because here's the example. In fact, let me just finish, or before we begin, not finishing, beginning. 2 Peter 2:10 is the parallel passage, and verse 11 is actually the one that would contrast with verse 9 of Jude. It says at the end of verse 10, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas, verse 11, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. So that's a generic challenge about angels speaking evil of dignities, powers. In other words, in the angelic world, because there is an authority structure, even angels are careful not to speak, you know, railing or to be disrespectful to other angels or beings that are above them. So much so, the example we find in Jude is, even evil angels, Satan, that when Michael was contending for the body of Moses, and you all know that story, right? You grew up on that. Remember? Remember when your mom and dad would sit down and read the story of Michael contending with the devil over the body of Moses? Remember that? Me neither. No. Why? Because verse 9 is the only mention of it. And when you look at what people say and some of the explanations over the centuries, you know, the last 2,000 years, they're grasping at straws. You know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But let's look at the story, verse 9. Look at Jude, verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, so now remember, we don't want to forget the big picture. The big picture is we're talking about people that are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, earthly or spiritual. You and I need to understand that when it comes to authority, even human authority, we need to understand where our boundaries are, where our jurisdiction is. We need to show respect to authority to a certain degree. Listen to this example now. Yet, now we're talking about speaking evil of dignities, glories. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Now, all the information we have about this whole story is what I just read to you. Michael, the archangel, apparently was contending, fighting with the devil, disputing over the body of Moses. And even Michael would not, durst not bring railing accusation against him, but instead said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Now that phrase is used in, I believe it's Zechariah chapter 2, where the angel of the Lord comes, Joshua the priest is there, and that phrase is used. So there's some people that try to tie it with that. And I see no basis for that other than the phrase was the same. I don't believe he was quoting from that. Some people, some commentators will take some proverbial, supposed rather, lost book of Moses and something Moses wrote. There's some what's called a pseudepigraphal, you know, non-canonical book. In fact, one might even be in the Apocrypha, a story that might be alluded to. But we're not going to build any doctrines on non-canonical writings, things that are not sacred scripture. But this is, there's some people that think that Jude was using an example in that was not true, but it seems clear to me. Jude, just like he uses the examples, even though we don't know a lot about the angels which left not their habitation, left not, you know, they didn't stay in their first estate, even though we don't know a lot about that, we know it happened. I personally, the more I've studied Genesis 6 and I've heard all the different explanations and I've spent hours studying that, I'm convinced that that does apply to these angels, the sons of God. But whether, I'm not going to build a doctrine on that, nor should you. You can have an opinion about that, but don't make that an issue where you're disagreeing with other brothers or sisters about that. And so this, something happened regarding Moses wanting the body of, or excuse me, the devil wanting the body of Moses. Why would the devil want the body of Moses? I'm glad you asked. There's a lot of speculation. The church fathers, you know, they say of the writing of books, there is no end. Of the writing of philosophies and possibilities, is there's no end. I'm going to give you two or three of the main ones. Answering, you know, okay, this apparently happened. Moses and Michael contended. Satan wanted the body of Moses. Apparently it was buried where, you know, hidden. And why would Satan want the body of Moses? Here's probably one of the most popular views is, the theory is that Satan wanted to use the body of Moses to get Israel to worship Moses' body because Israel was prone to idolatry. Could be. Who knows? Maybe that's the case. Maybe somebody passed that down to Polycarp who passed it down. Who knows? But we're not going to build a doctrine on it. Some people think that Satan wanted the body of Moses because Moses technically was a murderer. Remember Exodus chapter 2 and verse 12? Satan is a murderer. And that somehow Satan wanted possession of Moses' body. There's a couple other different theories out there. But that's not Jude's point. Jude tells us there was a dispute about the body of Moses. And it's interesting to study that. And you can spend a couple hours doing that if you want. But here's the point. that Michael, the archangel, would not even directly rebuke Satan because he was a created angelic being. And remember, in the angelic world, there's different authorities. There are some angels that are under authority of other angels. There's the archangel, Michael. Satan was Lucifer, the anointed cherub, apparently one of, if not the most powerful angel created by God, who rebelled against God and took with him one third of the angels of God, hence the beginning of what's called demons. And so there's categories of evil angels, probably based on how they were designed and created, and there's categories of good heavenly angels, cherubim, seraphim, and so forth. The term principalities and powers describes that. In fact, notice it says the rulers, and I mentioned this to you, clearly one of the indicators that we're talking about, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Goes back to what we talked about last week. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your problem is not with your boss. Your problem is not with a family member or a neighbor. Even though they are the flesh and blood that we're contending with, it's their voice you're hearing in your mind that's getting you so upset. It's their words that are irritating you and getting you all bitter if you are. It's their whatever, flesh and blood, that the devil uses. But folks, you got to realize our battle's not mainly against them. There's a spiritual realm going on that is absolutely real behind the scenes. If you just look at first few chapters of the book of Job, you see that veil peel back just a little bit. And that kind of thing, what we read there, what you read in Isaiah chapter 6 about the throne of God, that's going on all the time. There is activity that you and I do not see, as we looked at the verse last week, visible and invisible. And so let's talk about the highest power, because Michael himself understood authority, even wicked authority, and he would not bring railing accusation against the devil. And that reminds us very clearly that there are wicked authorities. I actually started recording this message, and then I had a technical problem. Preached into it for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. The thing cut down, I had to restart it. So now I'm forgetting, what did I say in these few minutes? And what did I say that I actually have to re-say? And so if I repeat myself, it's because it's something I thought I said initially in this recording. And there have been so many, you pray for me if you would please, there have been so many challenges. Just recording, not, it's enough to prepare messages. I've shared with our church that. And I put my heart into it for you. That's my desire, is to feed you. And that's very time consuming, but I'm good with it. I'm committed to that. But now with this technology, having to record learning devices, we've got to buy some things and then editing them and learning them. And we're still, we mentioned we're hoping to open up early June. It has been overwhelming. It's been so time consuming that, my hours, it's just crazy. So pray for me. And for things like this, like, I have no idea, what did I say the first 10 minutes? And what did I just say the last 10 minutes? It's all a big blur. And I do have my notes. They're supposed to help me, right? Right. So maybe I will look at my notes. Authority. So the highest power. I'm not sure I shared this, but let me share in case I didn't. So this will be either twice that you heard this or just once. But it is important that you and I understand that authority, God is the highest authority. The powers that be are ordained of God. There are no powers but that which are of God. And so God gives earthly authorities, even wicked ones, But you and I are not obligated to just blindly follow all authority, even if they're powerful and have the power to kill us. Remember what Jesus said? Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Perfect example is Acts chapter 5. Peter was challenged. In fact, Peter in his epistle, by the way, exhorted his followers, his disciples, and the church to respect and obey magistrates. But to show you that there's jurisdiction, it's not blind obedience. If any authority ever tells you to do something that would go against the scriptures or what you know the God of heaven, the supreme authority, the highest power, if they tell you to do something that would violate that, you... Perfect example, Acts chapter 5. The human authorities came in, the magistrates. They said to Peter, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. They just stepped outside of their boundaries. They just stepped outside of their jurisdiction and started abusing power, claiming and telling people to do something that they had no right to do. You see, folks, human authorities are not all-powerful. There's a saying out there. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so Peter said in Acts chapter 5, because they didn't do it, that, you know, they, what do they call that? Peaceful resistance? That's not the word, but they Peter said this, we ought to obey God rather than men. So if men tell you, even someone in great powerful authority tells you to do something which violates God, you have to obey God rather than men. And clearly, now that doesn't mean we disrespect authority. Perfect example. Paul was interacting with the high priest, and in that time, the high priest was a government political authority. And Paul understood that. And Paul, the high priest had someone smack Paul. And Paul lashed out. He said, God will smite you, you whited wall. I think that's what he said. And, you know, very, very, he was responding. And someone said, Paul, you just spoke to the high priest that way. And Paul said, I don't care. No, he didn't say that. He said, he took the low road. He condescended. He, in a sense, he apologized. He said, I didn't realize that he was the high priest. So, even when we have to respectfully disobey, we don't want to be troublemakers and contentious. Perfect example there is John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist had some kind of relationship with Herod, so that when Herod was put in a corner, I won't go into all that story, eventually it was his authority that caused John the Baptist to lose his head. But do you know that Herod had enough respect for John the Baptist that he was reluctant to do that? And John the Baptist even publicly rebuked Herod for his wicked, immoral relationship with Herodias. And so, you know, clearly, we are never to blindly follow anyone. We have to obey God rather than men. And every human authority would be wise to realize where they get their authority from. The power that be are ordained of God. There is no power but of God. Romans 13:1, last week. Again, example. I don't think I shared this yet. I just shared it 20 minutes ago. Sometimes God will raise up human authorities like Nebuchadnezzar to bring judgment upon God's people. And so I did mention this last Sunday. That sometimes we don't get the government leaders we need. We get the ones that we deserve. And we even vote for some of them. So, authority. Do you understand the need to recognize the highest power? There are higher powers, but there is the highest power, and that is God. And any human being, especially someone in power, that does not recognize the highest power is a danger to society. Do you know that our founding fathers, when they started the different states, when they wrote their constitutions, the majority of them had that written into their constitution. Now, they've since been removed, and I think most of them. But do you know that in this country, when our founding fathers were God-fearing men who believed in liberty of conscience, who believed that one denomination could not control and that government could not enforce one particular denomination and gave religious liberty, but that when they did that, they still understood the importance of people being God-fearing. We were a religious nation. Separation of church and state has nothing to do with kicking religion out of the public life. That has been so twisted. Be careful who you listen to that's teaching you American history. Go back to primary sources. Most of the junk today is revisionist, but that's another point. Do you know that if you were going to take an oath of office in most of the states, you could not hold an office, a position of power in America, if you did not believe that you were accountable to a higher being, that there was punishments and rewards based on how you led. Now, it didn't matter, you know, what you believed about God, what religion you were. You could be Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, you know, that you could have that, but you had to profess that you believed in a higher power, the God of heaven. Listen to some of these state constitutions. They're actually written in. Tennessee Constitution, 1796, Article 8, Section 2. No person who denies the being of God or a future state of rewards and punishment shall hold any office in the civil department of this state. Can you believe that? Why did they do that? Our founding fathers were not bigots. They understood. If you have a human being that doesn't realize he's answerable to God, you should not trust him. They were on to something, folks. The South Carolina State Constitution, 1778, Article 38, that all persons in religious societies who acknowledge that there is one God and a future state of rewards and punishments, and that God is publicly to be worshipped, shall be freely tolerated. You see, our founding fathers understood, if you don't believe in the power, the supreme God, the highest authority, and you don't understand that you're going to stand before him on judgment day, you're not to be trusted. If you're not answerable to anyone, why should we trust you? You're an entity unto yourself. You're going to be like the apostates. No one tells you what to do, where to go, and who to listen to. Here's Vermont, 1786, Frame of Government, Section 9. And each member of the legislature, before he takes his seat, shall make and describe the following declaration. I do believe in one God, the creator and governor of the universe, the rewarder of the good and punisher of the wicked, and I do acknowledge the scripture of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration and own and profess the Christian religion. Wow. You say, how is that separation of church and state? Clearly, you need to understand, you need to go back and study the Constitution and this whole concept of separation of church and state. Actually, that is not found in the Constitution. Those were the words of Thomas Jefferson. But again, that's another story. But you know what, folks? In this day and age, you and I need to be concerned about people that are in power that have no one to answer to. They don't believe that they're going to stand before God on Judgment Day. They are their own God. They are their own power. And so we as Christians, we are rightly concerned about what's happening in our country as we begin to open up. The quarantine is lifted, and even some of the abuses during this quarantine concern us greatly. First thing that happened, it was the first week or two, the first Sunday, where they asked churches not to meet. You probably heard this. Temple Baptist Church in Greenville, Mississippi, the pastor did not have a website, did not have the ability to stream services. And because he saw and understood the essential importance of religion, we talked about that last Sunday, he made every preparation. They were going to have an outdoor service. They were going to follow social distancing to honor the government and just wisdom. And they were going to meet in the parking lot, park their vehicles, roll down their windows, and the pastor was going to deliver a sermon broadcast over the radio inside the empty church. And some authorities who stepped way outside of their jurisdiction came in, swooped in, and fined every member $500. That should infuriate us. This is America. This is not Russia. This is not Red China. Thankfully, higher authorities, that didn't get too far, because thankfully there's some God-fearing judges or some judges that fear and are just. Here's another one. An Idaho woman was threatened with 6 months in jail for selling items on her front yard because her yard sale violated the ban on non-essential businesses. Another one. A former Colorado state trooper was handcuffed. What was the thing that he did? This is horrible. You're going to need to prepare yourself. You're not going to believe what this guy did. You're going to get infuriated. This former Colorado state trooper, a police officer, was playing catch with his daughter. I hope you're outraged, but not at the state trooper playing catch with his daughter. They detained him for a few minutes, put him in handcuffs. Thankfully, maybe the officers that were going to arrest him, you know, got wise and let him go after a few minutes. But folks, what is happening in our country when people that are in authority abuse their authority and have no concept of a holy God that they're going to answer to? Now, they don't have to believe in God. They will answer to him someday. And every political leader needs to stand back and realize it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And like that verse I quoted at the end of last week, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Whether you believe in God or not, you have to deal with God, and you will deal with him. Hebrews 9 says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You and I will stand before God. Romans tells us, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So fall back on that. Take peace in that. When you see people abusing their authority in our country, you see governments and local governments, you know, I heard of a property association of a relative where, you know, they kind of control what would go on in this certain area where a relative bought a house. And one particular person got so power hungry and just totally violated property rights and things that we hold precious that were given to us, you know, rights that were given from God. And it can be scary, but we fall back on, remember what I shared last week at the end, Jesus stood before Pilate. Pilate thought he had all this power. He was power hungry. He was arrogant. He said, don't you know, what do you mean? You're answerable to me, buddy. And I can't believe you're not saying anything. Don't you realize that I have the power to crucify you or to let you go? Didn't faze Jesus one bit. He said, you don't have any power over me except what God gives you. That is true today, folks. It's true for wicked leaders that abuse their power. Doesn't mean you and I need to submit to wicked things. And a couple more examples. In Louisville, Kentucky, the mayor banned drive-through Easter services. That is an infringement upon our religious freedoms. Thankfully, a federal judge rebuked him, calling his directive on drive-through services a violation of religious freedoms. Praise God, we have a president right now that understands our religious liberties and seems to respect them. I fear some of these candidates that want to become president, if others of them were now president, I shudder to think what would be happening right now during this quarantine. Michigan governor deemed that a paint and gardening products were non-essential and off limits to customers. In fact, this gal has become the poster child of government overreach. If these people would just realize that someday they're going to answer to God and they really believe that, things would change. How about our local Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, or as some like to call it, city of brotherly shove? Police dragged a man off a bus because the rascal was not wearing a mask. Hey, I like this story. Some gal I know on Facebook shared this story the other day. She said, I was sitting here getting my oil changed. It was either today or the day before. The business did not have a sign on the door about wearing a mask. The owner of the shop was not wearing a mask, so I entered without wearing a mask. And I asked if I was allowed to sit and wait in the waiting room, and they said yes. After a few minutes, other people entered, and soon there were six of us in the small room, some wearing masks, some not. No problem at all, until one customer decided to be the mask police, and that it is the business, decided to be the mask police, and suddenly, loudly, asked if we were unaware of the law that every person has to wear a mask and that it is the business owner's responsibility to make sure everyone does, or ask them to leave. It's amazing how many people are freaking out, panicking, and losing all semblance of decorum. And think of this lady. Don't you know it's the law that every person has to wear a mask? I love this gal. She wrote this. She said, I, who usually keeps my mouth shut and ignores stupidity, decided to speak up for his benefit and the others in the room. So I guess this mask police wasn't a lady, it was a guy. I nicely and kindly let him know it was not a law because it had not gone through the House and Senate and was actually just an order by the governor. Now, there's someone who knows jurisdiction. There's someone very wise who knows where to draw the lines. And folks, if you don't know jurisdiction regarding authority, you're going to end up doing things that you're going to answer to God for, and you're not going to be able to blame an authority. Well, that person, I wouldn't have done it if. So, I love this. I kindly and nicely let him know that it was not a law because it had not gone through the House and Senate. It was actually just an order by the governor. She said, I thought about throwing in, it was an illegal order by the governor, but decided to leave that out so as not to further work up the mask enforcer. Anyway, that quieted down the room. I would have loved to have been there and seen that. But, you know, things like that are playing out all across America. And I honestly fear that we will lose some of our freedoms because some of the ridiculous things that are happening from people that have no fear of God, they are an entity unto themselves. They are their highest authority. They have no higher power, and therefore they are dangerous. Final example, over 30 police officers in Los Angeles. This is just sad. 30 police officers shut down a one-year-old's birthday party because apparently the partygoers weren't social distancing. You know, you and I need to be careful about reacting and condemning people who are autonomous individuals that have individual rights. I want to close with this. I absolutely love this. When I first started pastoring, I pastored in Lancaster, Pennsylvania for 3 years. And this came out of the Lancaster County Office of the Sheriff. God bless the county of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I wish every government, municipality understood this. There'll be some people that will freak out with this. They'll have separation of church and state because they have no idea what that means. And they don't understand our freedoms. and they need a history, an American history lesson. But listen to what came from the desk of the Lancaster County, Pennsylvania Office of Sheriff. Our hearts and prayers are with those who have suffered the loss of someone due to the COVID-19 virus. Likewise, our hearts and prayers go out to those who have suffered financially from the quarantine orders. When taking a drastic step, such as a quarantine, there must be a balance between public safety as directed by the government and the rights of the people. An action of the government, such as a quarantine, that takes decision-making away from the individual should be extremely rare and limited. Let's keep that in mind the next cycle of the COVID virus and then the next cycle. Let's keep that in mind. An action of the government, such as a quarantine, that takes decision-making away from the individual should be extremely rare and limited. Our United States Constitution and the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania recognizes individual freedom and liberties and weigh heavily in favor of the rights of the individual citizen. In recognition of this, our office will not be enforcing any edicts from the governor's office as it relates to the COVID-19 pandemic. We are a government for the people, by the people. Now, if you think that's rebellion, you don't understand that there are higher powers and then there is the highest power. This government, Lancaster, understands the governor of Pennsylvania has overstepped his jurisdiction. We believe that each person should exercise and bear personal responsibility in the best interests of themselves, their families, friends, and employees. And it is they, not the centralized government, who should make those decisions. May God bless the United States of America, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and each one of you. I say amen to that. I close with the text that we looked at last week, which was actually just 2 hours ago, to be honest. Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Again, there is no power but of God. And anyone that has human authority, principalities, and powers, that has human authority needs to remember there is no power but of God. Someday you and I, no matter what position of authority you're in, someday you and I are going to stand before a holy God. We're going to have to give an account. And if you've been in a position, a sacred position of trust in other people's lives, and you have abused that power, woe to you. You'll answer to God. He is the highest power. And so may our knees bow, because someday our knees will bow and our tongues will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now we have the free will, the liberty to bow in submission to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we can do it now voluntarily or someday against our will perhaps. We will bow the knee to Jesus Christ, but it will be too late if you've rejected him. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to understand a little bit about authority. And as Michael, the archangel, dares not to bring railing accusation against Satan, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Help us to realize that we don't fight our own battles, Father. You do. And so where there are abuses of powers, may we, like Michael, say, "The Lord rebuke thee," and let you fight our fights. Thank you, Lord. Help us to have peace, not to get all worked up at some of these abuses and people that are violating rights, but just to look to you to do right and help us to stand up for what's right. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.